Amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. Biblical hope is future fact, is future fact. And so praise the Lord that we can be caught up and bound by future fact, knowing what's going to take place and what a blessing that is. 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings chapter 4. Sunday nights we'll be going through and teaching on little known Bible characters that have a message for us. If it's in the Bible, that's more than just literature. It's more than just a story. If it's in the Bible, it's in God's holy word. He's preserved it for us for a purpose. And there's truths and meanings and biblical principles that we can learn from every Bible story and from every Bible character. And so we've been going through and studying on these little known Bible characters. We've been going from the Old Testament and to the New Testament, last in the New Testament, back to the Old Testament last Sunday night. We looked at the elder son and what a great message that God gives us to us through that. And tonight we're going to be looking at this widow in need, this widow in need. And so 2 Kings chapter 4, go ahead and stand with me, and we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 7. Just seven verses in the Old Testament that reveal the Bible character of this widow woman. The Bible says, "Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead, and thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me. What hast thou in the house? And she said, Thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. When thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. She went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, Go, sell the oil, and pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you, Lord God, for church, a place of refuge, a place where we can come and just find that spiritual help that we can't find anywhere else. Thank you for making it your house, a place where you meet with us. Thank you for the precious word of God that we have, that we can preach and teach and are instructed to do so as we assemble ourselves together. And I pray tonight, God, for all that are here, and tonight I don't know what's going on in their lives, but you do, and I know that we are a needy people, and there's always different needs. And I pray tonight that we would learn from this Bible character on what to do in order to have our needs met. Pray that you would just speak to us as we have need to be spoken to this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. As we look here, we find this widow woman was a godly woman who had just lost her husband and had been doing all she could to raise her two sons and not feel sorry for herself. I think she was doing everything she could on her own. And she says that in chapter 4 and verse 1. She says, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditors come to take away unto my two sons to be bondwoman. She served as a prophet's wife, served well. He was a servant of the Lord, and now he is gone. The Bible didn't tell us how he died, but he is gone. And so she was trying to take up the responsibility of providing for the children. And she mentions it to Elijah as he knows this. Elisha knew that. She went to Elisha with a need for help. Her sons were about to be taken as bondmen to pay off their debt. So we find this is a story. This is what's going on in this Bible character's life. In verse 2, we find Elisha was going to help her. The only question was, through what means? Elisha knew her situation. No doubt he knew her husband, and he was there, and no doubt he wanted to help her, and there's different ways that he could have helped her, but he didn't know exactly what how God would have him to help her. And I don't know that that's something that all of us might face from time to time. There's those that come to us that only come to us when they're in need. Anybody have anyone like that in your life? You know, sad when it's a parent with children, adult children coming to them. The only time that they really hear from them is when they're with a need and they come with a handout wanting them to do something for them. And that can get old after a while, when the only time you see somebody and hear from somebody is when they're looking to you to help meet a need that they have. God, on the other hand, he wants us to come to him. But the difference is God knows what's going on inside of an individual. And God says to come when you're ready to do right. And when you come when you're ready to do right, there's help available. Too often, especially our loved ones, when only time we see them is when they're in need, they come not really looking to do right. They're looking to be bailed out. They're looking for you to help them with a problem that they've created. And if they're not looking to change, listen to me, you can't help that person. When you try, you're just going to give away what God has given to you. It's inevitable. If they don't change, they'll be in the same situation somewhere down the road. It could be tomorrow, might be next week, next month. If they're not willing to change, you can't help that person. And so the dilemma is this person coming to me, are they really wanting to change? Are they aware that they've made a mistake and they're repentive and they're wanting to change? Those kind of people that are wanting to change, you bring a thief to me that doesn't want to be a thief anymore, that truly wants to change, we can help them. You bring a drunk, an alcoholic, that really wants to change, that doesn't want to be an alcoholic any longer, you can help them. Wow. But you bring somebody that's just looking for a handout, looking for someone else to pay for their problems and the debt that they got themselves into, they're not looking to change. You cannot sustain anybody indefinitely. And they'll continue to go through the very same thing and drain everybody around them if they can. That was not the case with this woman. She was trying to do it on her own. She was not looking for pity. She was not looking for others to bail her out, but she did find herself in need, and she went to Elisha. She had her needs met. What a hallelujah. Praise the Lord for that. In a way that she nor her sons would never, ever forget this. See, that's how God works. When we come to God with a need, God wants us to come to him, and he's going to work in our lives to meet our needs, but he's going to work it in a way that you'll never forget it. And he'll make sure that you know that it was through his actions that that need was met. I don't know really who's here that God was wanting to impress. God was wanting to use this trial to help them, whether it was a widow woman. I believe more than even the widow woman, it was her two sons. Their father was in the ministry. Can I tell you, all preachers' kids are under the attack of the devil, more so than anyone else, because they ought to have a greater opportunity to turn out right. They ought to have a greater opportunity to do more for the cause of Christ. They were raised to know the Lord. They were raised to see the miracles of God. They were raised with this kind of environment. They ought to. They have greater opportunity. And Satan knows that as well. Missionary kids, who better to go back to the mission field than a missionary kid that's been raised on the mission field? Satan's going to try to hinder them in every way. So I don't know. I believe it was for the two boys more than anything else to see how God would work. They were the ones who were getting ready to become bondmen. So the message I want to preach tonight on this passage of Scripture from this little-known Bible character is a solution to having our needs met. Whatever the need might be, I believe there's a biblical principles here that can be a help to us. The Bible says in Philippians in chapter 4 and verse 19, "My God shall supply all your need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, again, if we looked at that, we have to look at who this promise was given to. This was given to the people that were given to missions and were doing everything to serve the Lord. And because they were doing what God wanted them to do, he says, "My God shall supply all your need." Because they were doing right. We find in Matthew 6:33 that seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Come to me when you're ready to do right, and I'll take care of you. Basically, it's what Matthew 6:33 means. So the first thing we find here in this story of this widow woman who had a great need to try to salvage her sons is she sought biblical counsel to know how to position herself for God's help. The first thing we have to know is, what does God want me to do in order for him to supply all of my need? Why am I going through this trial that I'm going through? If I find myself in a trial, the first thing that I want to do is stop, get on my face before God and say, "God, help me to learn why I'm going through this trial. I want to learn what you have me in this trial to learn as quickly as possible so I can get out of it." I think that's wise. If you're going through a trial in your life, if there's a certain need that you have that is not being met, then there is a purpose for that. There is a reason that God is allowing you to go through that, and there's something that he wants you to learn from that. So she sought God by going to the man of God to know what she was to do to position herself for God's help. Can I tell you that we can know through the Word of God that God loves us and God cares for us? That God wants us to bring our cares to him. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. God desires to help us. In the book of Hebrews in chapter 4, Hebrews in chapter 4, verse 16. She was aware of God, and she was aware of Elisha being a man of God. And now she is looking to Elisha to get the counsel to know how to position herself for God to meet her need. What a blessing that is to know that. We have to position ourselves for God to bless us. We have to know what God wants. What is God looking for in me to be able to supply my need? Hebrews in chapter 4 and verse 16, it says this: "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We need to know that God wants to meet our needs, and so we have to come boldly, knowing that God wants to meet our needs, and come to God looking to God to tell us, "What do you want me to do? What's going on in my life? What do I need to take out, or what do I need to bring in? God, what would you have me to do?" Seek biblical counsel to know how to position yourself for God's help. Can I tell you, first and foremost, God might be working in your life. The most important thing that God would have for us to do is to get saved. Amen. Because if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the Bible tells us that you are dead to God. You're dead in your trespasses and sins. But even though you're dead to God, God so loved you that he sent his son to die for you on Calvary's cross. Amen. He sacrificed his very best for you so that you could come to know him, to be reconciled to him. It's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to that place of repentance in their life, that place to acknowledge that I'm lost in need of a Savior, and then look to Jesus Christ and call upon the name of the Lord. If you're here and you're not saved, listen, whatever's going on in your life, no matter what kind of trials that you're facing, no matter what kind of struggles that you have, God wants to use them to get you to the place where you'll cry out to Him and say, Lord, forgive me my sins. Come in my heart, save me. Once you're saved, you're God's child. If you're seeking God's help, do what God asks you to do as one of His children. Identify with Him. The first step of obedience after you get saved is to identify with Jesus Christ and His death and His burial and His resurrection through believer's baptism. If you've not followed through with believer's baptism, if you've not decided as a born-again believer, I'm going to identify with my Savior, and I want to publicly make a statement that Jesus is my Savior, and that's what you do in baptism. You identify with Him. That is not a completion of salvation, but that is something that we do to identify with Him and His death and His burial, and as we come up out of the water, His resurrection. I want people to identify me as a born-again believer. Somebody has a desire to live a Christ-like life. And then as long as you look to live that Christ-like life, you position yourself under the wings of an almighty God, under the umbrella of God, for God to protect you and for God to watch over and meet that need that you have. Need to know, seek counsel and how to position yourself for God's blessings. Know who God blesses and know who God will not bless. God will not bless sin. He will not condone sin. If you're living in sin, do not expect God to bail you out of anything. You might be able to blind your mom to it or your dad to it or your brother, your sister to it. You will not blind God to it. Well, so she comes, and she comes to Elisha, the man of God, the one that she knows has power with God. And he could tell her what God would want her to do to position herself to have the help that God offers. The second thing we find here is Elisha would instruct her to get other people involved. Get others involved without expectations of them to carry your burdens. Isn't that what he tells her? Look, go back with me, verse 3. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, and borrow not a few. He didn't say go and ask for a handout. He didn't say go and ask them to give you a vessel. He didn't tell you to go and tell them your whole story and have them pity you, and as they pity you, give you whatever they can give you. Didn't say that. He said, get them involved, your neighbors, because if they're brothers in Christ, they'll be willing to pray for you. I don't think we need to tell everybody everything that's going on in our lives, but there's times that we need to be able to ask our brothers and our church family to, would you just pray for me in this area or that area, because I want God's will in my life and I want God to do a work, and I know that God honors prayer, and I know God commands us to pray one for another. So get others involved without expectations of them to carry your burdens. Go borrow with every intention to give them back. Empty jars or vessels was something that others could easily give. It wasn't taken away from their family. It's an empty vessel. I love it. He didn't say, go borrow filled vessels full of oil. Didn't do that. He said, make sure they're empty. But I want you to get others involved. Never know how God might use this in their lives. But realize it's your trial. Just because you're going through something, don't expect the whole world to stop. Don't expect everybody else to drop everything that they're doing because you are going through a trial. As some strange things happening to me. No, it's your trial. God is working it in your life. Now, he might want to use it in other people's lives, but it's your trial. We should not expect others to bear our burdens. Galatians chapter 6. Galatians in chapter 6. If it's your trial, why should others sacrifice for you? Is that really what God would have everyone else do? Sacrifice for you? Is that what we ought to be able to expect from true friends? I don't think so. I love what Galatians says here because it is God's will. He says in Galatians chapter 6, and first of all, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Don't think yourself better than anybody else. Help those that are in need. Look to restore the fallen. And then he says, bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, if it was a stop there, we'd say, yes, I can expect you to bear my burden because God commands you as my brother to bear you one another's burdens. And so you're supposed to bear my burdens. Didn't stop there. Look in verse 5. For every man shall bear his own burdens. Now, God's telling us we ought to have compassion one for another. And we ought to, when we find out that a brother is in need and somebody has something that they is taking place in their lives, I have to look at myself and pray to God, and God, how would you have me to help them? And it could be that God tells you to go and give them some oil, or God tells you to go and take them some groceries, or God will tell you, lead you to go put some shoes on their feet or some clothes on their back or whatever it might be. God might tell you to do that and be willing to do whatever it is that God's telling you to do that. But that does not give that person in need the right to expect you to do anything other than pray and seek God's will for their lives. If you're the one with a burden, do not be looking around to everybody else to meet and take care of you. The only one that is going to be able to sustain you indefinitely is God. He wants you to look to Him. So, it's your burden. God has you going through that, whether it's a physical infirmity, whether it's a financial need, whether no matter what it is, it's your burden. It's your trial. God is working in the midst. Get others involved because you want to defeat the devil. And you want to have people praying for you to give you strength, knowing that there's strength in knowing people's praying for you. Amen. No doubt about it. There's strength in knowing that I have a church family, that whatever's going on, we are praying one for another. And we have prayer night. We have Wednesday night prayer night so that we can know how to pray one for another. Amen. And know how God would use us to help one another. Praise the Lord for that. But if you're the one, don't be looking for others to carry your burdens. So the boys are instructed by the mother. Elisha said to go and borrow vessels from all of our neighbors. And so the two boys go out. They're the ones that know that they're getting ready to be sold into slavery. And so they go knocking on the doors. I mean, this is what took place. They went knocking on the doors. I don't think that they said, we are so poor and pitiful and this is what's happening and all this is going on. No, they said, you know, mom told us to come and say, if you just had some empty vessels, some empty jars that we could borrow, we'll bring them back after God is done using them in our lives. And they said, empty vessels, that's all you want? That's all you need? No one has to sacrifice to give something empty. And they started going, and the neighbors, "Oh, I've got a couple back here. Hold on for a minute. Let me go get them for you." Brought them out. They would collect the vessels. They took them home. And they were ready for when the time came that God would reveal why that he would have them to go borrow from the neighbors. Possibly the neighbors might learn of the testimony later on and realize that God did work through me in just a small portion to help by doing what he asked me to do. Well, get others involved without expectations of them carrying your burdens. God has you in the midst of the burdens. They're your burdens. It's your trial. And God has something for you in the midst of that. So the next thing would be verse 3 and 4. Then he said, "Go borrow these vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few." Borrow not a few. This is God's plan. Now he tells you, give it your all. "And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons." Don't have everybody in. Why? Because it's not everybody's trial. It's not everybody's burden. It's your burden. The ones that are affected by it. This mother and her two sons. God has them in this situation so that he would be able to prove himself to them. "Shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full." So once we are getting others involved and with no expectations, but you know that you're seeking the God's will and your prayer is going out, seek after a closer walk with God in the midst. So many people, a tragedy happens, and first thing that they want to do is, "Well, I just can't go to church. I just can't be around people. I'm just going to stay home." Can I tell you, the most important thing for you to do when you're facing tragedies in life is draw closer to God. What better place than in a worship service? Now, I understand having to tell everybody the same story over and over again. I understand that. And I don't have any problems with coming in for this type of situation, to come in at the end or at the last, you know, when the church services start, the last one in, first one out. Now, I don't recommend that most of the time. But if you've just lost a loved one, or if you've got something in your life that the rest of the church knows about and they are praying for you, you know you've been on the prayer sheet, don't stay away from church. Use this as an opportunity to say, "God, I want to draw closer to you during this time." And so it could be that shut the door on everything else, get those of the family members as affecting and say, "Let's pray together. Let's read the Bible together. Let's sit in the church service together and ask God to speak to us through the preaching and the teaching. Ask God to minister to us through the congregational singing. Ask God to speak to us through the special music." Amen. It's a worship service. Seek after a closer walk with God in the midst and not the sympathy of others. I've seen both sides. I've seen people that, well, they have just a minor tragedy in their life. Everybody in the church knows about it. And it's the most important thing. I've seen others that dealing with cancer, dealing with life-threatening situations, and you never know it because they're trusting in the Lord and they're seeking a closer walk with God and not the sympathy of others. God is the one that is working all things for good in your life, not your neighbor. Not your neighbor. The two boys would experience mom going to the man of God to get the counsel of God. The two boys would experience mom saying, "Go borrow. We're going to give them back. Don't tell them the situation. Just ask for some empty vessels." The two boys bring the vessels back. They have experienced moms closing the door behind them and saying, all right, now, let's ask for God to bless the oil that we have. And the two boys would be there with their mother when they had their little bit of oil that they had and what empty vessels that they had collected. And they would experience her mother, the mother, starting to pour this oil out. And one by one, every vessel that they had collected that they knew was empty was filled. I don't know about you. I think they had a shouting fit. This was a preacher's wife, amen, an ex-preacher's wife and her two sons. Her two sons were preacher's kids, and they understood what God was able to do, and now they're seeing God work a miracle in their lives. I can see tears flowing down. I can see rejoicing. I can see them jumping up and down, running back and forth, amen, praising God for what God, not the neighbors, were doing. What God, not Elisha, was doing. But the God that they served, who's able to meet all their needs, who's able to sustain them throughout eternity. Yeah. I don't know. The Bible doesn't say. I believe that God had some great things for these two boys. I get to heaven. I want to go find out exactly what they did with their lives. And I know beyond any doubt right now that I'm going to find out they served God and they accomplished some great things. And it goes back because of how they handled this trial in their lives. Yeah. Look back in your life when you've handled things the way that God wants you to handle things. What a difference it made. The last thing, verse 6. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet another vessel. It's still coming. The oil is still coming. Don't tell me that you stopped short of getting another vessel. When the vessels were full, she said unto her sons, bring me yet a vessel. I could tell right then. I mean, you put yourself in that situation. Now they become red-faced. If I'd have known, Mom, I'd have worked a little harder. I'd have went to another house. I would have brought more vessels if I would have truly known and understood what was going to take place. It's too late then. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. The last thing this morning, this evening rather, by faith, do all that God says to do. Could there have been another vessel available? Could you have done a little bit more? Don't stop with being good enough. Can I tell you that, and I love the book, The Enemy of great. Good is the enemy of great. If you stop at just good enough, you'll never accomplish great things for God. And too often, when we have enough to pay the bills, when there was just enough oil to keep me from being taken into bondage, whew, that's all we need. Don't want any. And you stop with just good enough. You come to church and you start serving the Lord and God starts working in your life. You position yourself for God's blessings and the trial passes. The storms are now behind you. And before you know it, you go right back into the very same mode you were in before the trial. Don't stop. Don't stop with being good enough. Do all. Do all that God would have you to do. put your all into everything that God would ask you to do. And do what God says to do. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go, sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. They would live on what God had provided. What a great story. What a great Bible character. What a great truth. The solution to having our needs met. Like if every head bowed and every eye closed.